I'm Steve Potter. This is Cityscape. And today on our monthly soundbite segment, in partnership with Sauce Magazine, brine or based? How to avoid lumpy gravy? Well, if you have a Thanksgiving dinner dilemma, or the possibility of one, we're going to open up our phone lines at 314-382-8255, and our guest today will offer their expert advice. So think about those questions as we're talking, and feel free to join us with a question or a comment at 314-382-8255, 382-TALK. Anthony Devote is the chef/proprietor of Five Bistro on the Hill. He's here with a high-ranking member of his staff, his mom, Bonnie. Welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're sort of a volunteer, but an integral one, Bonnie, as I understand.
I am a volunteer. I carry one of those signs, "We'll work for food."
And here from Sauce Magazine, executive editor LaGaya Figueres. And LaGaya, in the current edition of Sauce, you write about Thanksgiving and family, but I'm just assuming all your Thanksgiving dinners are flawless.
No, it doesn't mean that they're flawless. This year we are hosting 20, which is a crowd. It'll be lots of fun. Well, so I do have experience.
We've heard from some people on Twitter and so forth. I've got some questions for you, and we're going to open up the phone lines at 382-8255 for our listeners if they have any questions about certain dishes or anything they want to. Before we do that, let's talk a little bit about Five Bistro. That's one of those farm-to-table concepts.
Oh, yeah. The idea is to do everything that we possibly can in the restaurant. We do whole animal butchery. We cure all of our own meats, all the soups, sauces, all that kind of good fun stuff. We have about a 900 square foot garden out back that we, maybe 35 tomato plants this year. I think we got maybe 200 pounds. We had a great year. It was really fun. It's good fun. It keeps you interested in what's going on around.
Is that farm-to-table concept, LaGaya, that's something we see growing all the time, isn't it?
No, we definitely see it growing. I think Anthony's a really good example of farm-to-table in St. Louis. I can't remember what your percentage is, what the height of the season when you're sourcing locally, but I think at one point you told me you were near 90% or close to that.
I would say, if you look at the menu right now, it's probably 90%. And that's saying, maybe about 150 miles of the city. So, we get olive oil and olives and cheese, some cheeses and things like that that we import, but that's about the best that we can do there.
Well, since you're on the Hill, Bonnie, is that just given that it's would you call it an Italian restaurant per se?
Probably the extent of the Italian restaurant would be our family. We're Italian. He does do pastas, makes his own breads, does do a lot of Italian has a lot of
influence
to it, but he goes beyond that. And I think we're a little different twist for the Hill, which is great because I think people are looking for that.
Anthony, what are some of your signature dishes?
Well, last night we did our whole hog dinner. So we call it the divine swine. So that's always, we do that once a year. Kind of working with pigs is something that we do. We get whole hogs from Ron Bene. And really things with vegetables. We do loads of vegetable work. We're doing confit chicken legs tonight. Those will be outstanding. That's a great dish. We get beautiful seafood. The menu is always changing and evolving. So to say a signature thing, certainly our work with pigs, our work with vegetables. I personally love duck. It's one of my favorites.
So. Late night lamb burger. How about that?
Late night lamb burger. Yeah, hamburgers are
they
without
are
a doubt.
They are known for their late night lamb burger.
I was going to ask for your take, LaGaya, on Five Bistro.
On Five Bistro? I think what Bonnie said is spot on. It's a different place for the Hill if you don't want Italian. I mean, to me, it's more, I would call it, new American cuisine, but there's such a focus on using a Midwestern ingredients that you have a great flavor of St. Louis and surrounding area, whether that's going to be an Italian influence or some other cuisine's flavors melded in.
Okay, I want to get to some specific questions about preparing Thanksgiving dinner.
Sure.
Before we get there, though, I just have to go there. So what's it like, Anthony, to work with? And it's not just your mom. Your dad is a quote-unquote volunteer there also, right?
Yeah, I think the word volunteer is really loosely worded here. There's a lot more influence than the normal volunteer.
But Bonnie, you do eat free.
We do eat free, yes.
They do
yes.
eat free, yeah.
So what's the story behind that? How'd your parents get involved?
Well, I was living in San Francisco, and they came out maybe for anniversary or something, and I was working at Zuni Cafe, and I was like, there's nobody doing really this kind of farm-to-table stuff in St. Louis. There was people. Steve Gontram was, and Lou Rook was, but it wasn't a ton of people or anything like that. And it was like, I think that you could really just do something amazing here with, you know, really kind of going another step on the whole locavore kind of feeling and dining experience. And then there would be no way to do it without help. So it was kind of like, they wanted to help, and it was originally supposed to be a couple of months, you know, or a year or something, and now it's 7 years, and they've
and
cut
counting.
Back quite a bit, yeah, so.
And if you can find help that'll work for food, I mean, come on.
They even moved to the Hill to help out more.
That's right, from West County.
We lived in West County, and we're making that commute back and forth every day, and Joe sat me down one morning and said, we need to do something about this. So we moved in, and we love living on the Hill. We love the city. We both grew up in the city, so it's great. We love it.
Well, we are here as a public service. You know that, right?
We know that.
So
yes.
We're going to open up our phone lines now. And if you at home are stressing, and, you know, I remember my mom was one of those ones that got up at 4 in the morning. You not only worked the week before.
Bad idea.
But got up at 4 in the morning, and I can only imagine, you know, I was one of 5 kids, and we had other relatives there. I mean, I think she did most of the work, and I'm sure it was something she stressed about. But you don't want to stress too much, right? That ruins the fun.
Absolutely not. I think if you do a lot of pre-planning, and certainly there's a number of recipes that can be made in advance. You can, I mean, the host should enjoy themselves.
So if you at home have a question about planning or a particular question about, you know, how to cook a turkey or a particular dish or anything maybe you've messed up before or maybe something positive you want to share, give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. And we have our experts here that will steer you in the right direction to help make Thanksgiving Day the perfect experience. And let me share some tweets and things that we received earlier from some of our listeners and have you comment on it. From Mary Ann, we had a tweet that she says, she's giving advice here, brine the turkey first. This keeps them moist and delicious, well worth the effort. I don't think my mother ever did that.
We never brined.
I brine.
But?
I do. I think that's the best way to do it, for sure. About 3 days before, a big 5-gallon bucket.
So is it brine or based, or
no.
Is it brine and based?
No, I
some people
don't
baste,
think
right?
Basting at all.
I don't think basting is that good of an idea. It's not actually flavoring the flesh of the meat. You're just putting liquid on the skin, which is tight, and it's not going to get through. So you're just actually opening up the oven to release some, you know, the temperature's going to lower every time you open that thing up.
We have a tweet from Wesley, who's concerned about food safety, and I guess you should be. He says, with increased prep time and increased food load, it's never been more important. I never thought about, you know, the dangers of eating an uncooked bird, but I remember when I was younger when those first little pop-up things first surfaced. I don't know if they work. But anyway, what do you have to say about that?
I would say cook your bird to about 165-ish. I think that's a pretty good, safe place to put it. I also think that don't go by those little pop-up deals. Those are bad news. they say that, you know, that you want the leg at 180 or so, and the pop-up things go to 180, so it makes the breast dry, like sawdust, and then you end up having, some people who eat dark meat will love your turkey, and the people who eat white meat are like, you know.
I'm a white meat guy just personally. What about you?
I kind of like dark.
Okay, that's all right.
Flavorful.
Don't apologize.
I will say one other thing in terms of food safety. When you are thawing that chicken, I'm thinking chicken. I'm totally open to what Thanksgiving can be. But if you don't want to, if you can't thaw it in the fridge, if you don't have time, you know, they do recommend you're putting it in a water bath in the sink, and you're changing that water every 30 minutes, as opposed to simply taking this bird and putting it out in the kitchen just to thaw at room temperature the air.
Our number is 382-8255. Let's take a call. We have Rick calling. He's on the road somewhere in Illinois. Hi, Rick. Welcome to Cityscape.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
We're doing. Go ahead.
Quick questions. When I was a kid, my mom made the best sausage dressing that I ever ate. Actually, I try and recreate it, but she used to cook it both inside the turkey and spread it around the turkey while it was cooking, and it was wonderful. Nobody ever got sick, but all you ever hear is don't cook dressing inside the turkey. And let me ask my second one quickly, and then I'm going to hang up and listen on the radio if I could. I've heard people say that if you kind of flip the turkey upside down and cook it, typically the dark meat's down with the legs and the breasts are up. If you flip that over and cook it the opposite way, I've heard that the white meat comes out substantially more moist. So I'd like to hear your comments on those.
Thank you, Rick. Let me just say before you start, though, talking about stuffing, every time I see a commercial for stovetop stuffing, I kind of cringe. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, Rick, I guess I'm the dressing stuffing expert at this table today. Actually, we always prepare our dressing outside of the bird, not inside. And my mom always did that, just, I think, feeling that it might impact the turkey, you know, getting done, because you needed to leave the dressing in there for that to get done, and then maybe overcooked your turkey. So we always cook the stuffing or the dressing separately, and it turns out great. You can control the moisture of that cooking it outside
and
as well.
Before we get to the turkey question, which I think Anthony will be the best one to answer that, I just want to mention, as far as stovetop use, the recipe that we have in there, your Grandma Jean's, in this month's issue of Sauce Magazine, we published Bonnie's mother's recipe. It's called Grandma Jean's Thanksgiving stuffing. It does call for stovetop, and I have eaten it. Yes, and I'll tell you what, it's delicious. She actually combined, that's the beauty of it. It's actually using stovetop, and it is wonderful.
Steve, I'm going to make it for you.
Okay,
and not just stovetop, also Pepperidge Farms. So there is some prepared product in there. Sorry, Steve.
And there's something about me, maybe, you know, I guess all our memories about Thanksgiving, they go back to our childhood. If you're not digging it out of the bird, it just doesn't seem right to me, because I guess that's the way I always had it.
Mm-hmm. There are traditionalists out there.
So what about the upside down bird then?
I've actually never heard really anything like that. I think for, I mean, it seems, just thinking about it, well, logically, it makes total sense. But I like to tent over the breasts, you know, while it's cooking, to kind of keep that moisture in, keep it, you know, keep the legs going and keep the breast moisture kind of nice and cruising along there.
Two quick tweets that we received. This one from young Christopher. Here's his advice. Have someone else do it.
That's a pretty good one.
Which I can kind of get that.
Well, I mean, you know what? Let's just talk about that for 1 second. If you are hosting, and it's impossible, I think, sometimes for the cook to do everything. Just like you said, your mom got up at 4. Why? I mean, I'm hosting, but there's a lot of people that are going to bring a dish, and then all of a sudden, it makes life so much easier.
Potluck style is the way to go.
It's the way to go.
Everybody brings their stuff. It's done. It's a matter of heating, and makes life so much easier. And you're not fighting over oven space either.
And here's some great advice from iHumble, who tweeted us, have plenty of liquor and music.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That can't hurt.
There's no doubt about that.
382-8255, 382-TALK is our number if you have a question or comment about preparing your turkey feast. And we have this call from Kevin, calling from St. Louis. Hi, Kevin. You're on Cityscape. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Chef Devote, big fan of Five Bistro. I've had the porchetta there numerous times, and it's wonderful.
Thank
wonderful
you.
Dish. I was calling in reference to maybe deep frying turkeys, and the safety regards to that, maybe the best spot to do it, the size of the bird, perhaps.
Well, if you ever go to Eater's website, there's a great video of turkey frying gone wrong, and it is one of the most hilarious things that you'll ever see. As far as a bird goes, I would, you know, safety-wise, I would make sure that you don't have too much fryer oil in your fryer so that you spill oil everywhere.
Yes.
Size-wise, you know,
probably not too big, right? I think too big might be fried too long. I think it would dry out. Maybe a smaller bird for that.
Or, you know, it could go, I think timing is a big idea there. So, but yeah, I'm not a big deep fry turkey person. So maybe not the best person to answer that for you. There's a guy that I work with who does really good deep fried turkeys. I'll maybe talk to him and shoot a tweet out later about that.
That'd be great. I will check the feed. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
I had the deep fried turkey once, and I thought I was prepared not to like it, 'cause I kind of avoid fried stuff, but I thought it was great. And smoked turkey is good, too.
Smoked turkey is really good, yeah.
Yeah. What do you do when you have something goes wrong? Dry turkey, burnt turkey, burnt dinner rolls, soggy pie crust, lumpy gravy. How do you handle when everybody's there and all of a sudden, uh-oh?
That's when you go to the drinks and the music. That's where that comes in.
Which first, or does that matter?
The drinks probably would be the best thing to
I
go
think
to
drinking
first.
During the whole thing is pretty much what yes. I get. Just stay loose.
Hey, I'm curious, you guys, since you work in the business, you do all this at work for a living. Do you go home and do it all over again?
I don't cook very often at home. I cook breakfast quite a bit at home, but that's really it. I don't actually... We don't eat at home very much as a family. So, you know, maybe we'll have one of the meals when we're off at home, but we try to go out and see some of the places that we don't really typically get to see.
So what are your plans, Bonnie, for Thanksgiving? Are you doing a lot?
I am just doing my stuffing dish. We go to our family's.
The box stuffing that you're going to bring me?
The box stuffing that you will also receive.
Don't sound so skeptical.
We, did, as LaGaia mentioned, we have kind of a potluck family.
Yeah, that
and
makes
it's,
most sense.
It's awesome. It's great.
Let me share a couple of other tweets. This is from Albert. Don't be afraid to go against tradition. Cook what you feel like eating at the time. And I don't know if I agree with that. To me, they're just like certain things you're supposed to have. Am I wrong?
No, not necessarily. Here's my take on that, because I am one that likes things to be a little bit different, but a little bit. If I went to the extreme, I think as long as you've got stuff for the traditionalists out there, I think you're good. And we did actually publish this cranberry fig chutney, and I think it's a good example of what you can do different. You know, you're going to have a cranberry sauce, probably. But maybe you just, please don't only have that jelly can. And so this year, you know, like I'm going to do this one that's cranberry fig. What can you do to switch up, you know, whether it might be your spices or maybe the sweetener or something like that. Maybe you're adding a different fruit than normal. So it's like you as the cook being adventurous get to do something a little bit different, satisfy yourself, but you still are serving a cranberry sauce.
Someone out there sent us a question and they want to know if you have any advice, just very briefly, for vegetarians during Thanksgiving. And do we need to think about that?
Yeah, sure. You should always have something. I mean, heck, you know, I'm not a huge turkey person. I love my favorites are the sides. And a lot of those sides are meat-free. And I'm contented filling that
just
up.
Make a spinach ring and you'll be fine. Okay, in just about a minute. I'm wondering, sort of to wrap this up, what you think are the keys to a successful Thanksgiving dinner? And LaGaia, why don't we start with you?
Plan. Delegate and relax, because really, after all, it's just one dinner.
Anthony?
I think relax is a huge one. And planning is big, of course. It's just a turkey. You're just roasting a turkey. It's not that difficult. It's really not. It's an easy, easy task.
Then why do so many people end up in tears?
Because I think that I think they're trying to be a hero for one day as well. So
maybe they haven't had their glass of wine either.
Bonnie, a final tip for our listeners?
Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday. I love it. Enjoy the food, enjoy your family, and just chill.
That's Bonnie Devote, who helps her son, Anthony Devote, who is the chef and owner of Five Bistro on the Hill. We want to thank you for helping our audience today. Enjoy the holiday a little more. And LaGaia Figueres is executive editor of Sauce Magazine, and of course it's on the stands now. And there's an interview with Anthony, and it features both his parents, so people might want to check that out.
Yep, the interview with his mom and dad, though. Saving parents.
Thank you all for being here and have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you very much.
Coming up next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk about a new book highlighting the history of the United States through 101 treasures from the Smithsonian's collection. And we'll hear about the brothers Lazaroff's involvement in a Hanukkah hullabaloo. Then join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when he'll talk about current issues pertaining to the law with a panel of legal experts. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with assistance from Camille Phillips, Aaron Dorr, Kristen Torres, and Jeremy Bailey. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council Estate Agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and thanks for being part of the show.